blah 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 blah
blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah
blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another special video review of Blah Blah Podcast. You like that?
Oh,
I went up.
I hate it.
That was terrible. And we watched a hell of a video as it is. A movie that was
movie,
so...
Video. Movie video.
Yeah, I don't know what to
home
call
video.
It. It was like an experimental project, pretty much, that starred Sean Connery, and it was called Zardoz. So, what do we think of Zardoz?
Someone's here.
It's Zardoz.
It's Zed.
Okay, let's dive right into this. Evan, what did you think of Zardoz?
Well, I think when we initially picked this movie, we were looking at Sean Connery and the Speedo, and we're kind of like, haha, this is going to be a jolly good old time. And the movie's corny as hell, and it's weird.
Yep.
But I really liked it. Like, I'm actually surprised at how much I liked this movie. It reminded me a lot of, if you've ever seen The Time Machine, which I think came out in the late 60s, or Planet of the Apes. This is kind of on, not on the same level, but it's in the same category. I guess it's like a higher science fiction, where it's just kind of like very cerebral, very surreal. And not everybody's going to kind of like this kind of movie. I don't normally love this type of movie, but I thought it was really interesting.
This would never get made today.
No, it wouldn't, and I think it kind of deserves a good remake. I liked it, and I didn't think I would. It's a good cult sci-fi movie.
I wanted to get remade starring you.
Yeah. I don't have Sean Connery's hairy chest.
I thought this movie was interesting. I didn't like it. I didn't hate it. It was middle of the road for me, mainly just boring. Like, halfway through, I was just looking at the ceiling. You could probably find a clip of that. It was just so weird. Like, it was like an experimental college art house film.
Yeah.
Starring Sean Connery. And I thought he sung in this movie, because I saw a clip of him in a movie once with him in a loincloth as he's singing.
Darby.
I thought that was Zardoz.
Little People? Is that the name of that movie?
I don't know. I thought that was Zardoz, and I was preparing for that scene this whole film, and it never happened.
Nope.
Am I up?
Yeah.
Well, first, I'd like to say hello, everyone. Hello, true believers and newcomers alike. I thought that Zardoz was a really smart movie. It was well made. You're right. It wouldn't get a remake unless The Rock starred in it and Kevin Hart was a co-star. The king of remakes, actually. You know, The Rock's in everything. He's the best ever.
Yeah.
Similar to Evan, I thought it was going to be super corny. I mean, in some cases,
it was.
Yeah.
It was corny.
It had a nice bit of camp to it, but it was beautiful. And yeah, a little boring, a little long, but every time I looked at the screen, I enjoyed it.
Well, some of the shots were, I mean, from a cinematography standpoint, were really interesting. Like, they played with mirrors and perceptions a lot.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Oh, okay. It's my turn.
Just going to look at you like Zardoz.
Yeah, okay. Fine. I thought it was okay. I thought it was long. Obviously, it's very surrealist. I don't know if you can really carry that for a full 107 minutes or whatever
it
was.
You know, we keep saying it's long. It was only 106 minutes long,
but
it
felt
but it felt very long, like a 3-hour movie.
Because we get to a certain point in the movie where you think that it's going to end, and the next thing you know, we got another 20 minutes left on it, and it's pretty useless for the most part. Those last 20 minutes.
Mm.
But, you know, it had some good ideas. The concepts weren't too bad. For the time, I guess, the effects weren't too bad. Yeah, it was just okay. I'm not going to hate on it. It's just okay.
Yeah, it was one of the better movies we've watched.
That's saying a lot.
I got to point this out. You know, everyone who's telling me how great 2001 A Space Odyssey is. Oh, it's a masterpiece. Oh, it's the greatest movie ever made. And then they're sitting here during the movie. This is going on kind of long, don't you think?
there's no breathing.
I never saw 2001.
Do you have a poster of it sitting right there?
It's not mine.
Oh. I mean, 2001 is strictly an art film. You know what
yeah.
I mean? And I don't. I like 2001, and I appreciate it for what it is, but I don't watch it often, if ever.
I think this movie had elements of an art film in it.
But this to me was more like low-budget 70s sci-fi than art film.
And I feel like this is also way more political than 2001 ever could
be. Oh, this was very political.
Yeah, like class societies and like
guns,
rape.
And
violence.
Violence, yeah. Sexuality.
All rolled up
penises,
into one movie.
Boobs.
I mean, kind of what was...
Boobs.
Old people.
Kind of what
a lot
was
of
going
boobs.
On. And I guess, spoilers, if you want to check Zardoz out, which I would say, you know, if you like science fiction and you like Sean Connery, I would check
and
it
boobs.
Out. If you like boobs, check it out.
Boobs are pretty cool.
Boobs are cool.
A lot of those.
I mean, what was going on here is it's the future, and the world is, you know, either from nuclear fallout or just man-made destruction or whatever is destroyed. And I guess these people kind of sealed themselves into their own Garden of Eden and but outsourced their production of wheat by tricking these people into worshiping this giant floating head to like, and then the head tells them to harvest grain. So then they send the grain so, back. It's weird.
So weird. I don't,
it's
I can't,
weird.
I can't connect in my brain the wheat to the barbarians. Like what are those two things?
All right. It's Settlers of Catan. You need to exchange materials. So the head gives them guns and they use those guns to oppress people to make farms. They get grain, and they put the grain in the head, and then the head goes back to Eden, or whatever they called it,
the
vortex.
The vortex.
And then they made bread, green bread, at the vortex.
Didn't the vortex also send out all those, like, vacuum-sealed people into the world?
Yeah.
To breed.
For the barbarians to kill and breed with?
Well, the idea was, it was kind of like, here comes Zardoz, which is, it's a mask, essentially, a giant head ship. That is controlled by this crazy wizard with a fake
with a
Sharpie goatee, which
and
was
a vagina
ridiculous.
On his chin.
Who intro'd the movie.
Yeah, you
who
have to start the intro.
Oh, God. So there's just like the movie starts and none of us know what to expect.
Never
and,
seen anything
and
about
And instead
this.
Of getting like...
It was exactly what I expected
well,
for
I,
this
that's,
kind
yeah,
of movie.
That's the,
for what I thought the movie was going to be.
I kind of wish it didn't have that opening with the floating DVD loading menu head. Like, that was a little much, but essentially, he controls this ship that he goes and he's like a god to these barbarians, gives them people to kill, and says, you know, oh, kill for me. He's invoking the male violence so that he can get them to worship him, so he can make them harvest grain, so he can collect the grain and ship it back to the vortex.
That is such a fucking elaborate thing.
And that's just one part.
Unnecessarily elaborate.
We didn't get to what was the name of the crystal?
The crystal skull.
The tabernacle.
the tabernacle. Which was
the Mormon tabernacle choir.
Sean Connery infiltrates this vortex where these people live, and he starts to like uncover the way that they live and they banished the elders, and oh, it was so
weird.
Yeah,
all the old people
are
having like a old people party. It must smell really bad in that room.
It smells like Atlantic City.
This is a... It's a weird...
A lot of sex in there, like when he's in the crystal at the end, and it's just like, you have penetrated me.
Yeah, well, the whole
yeah, there's sex, like,
a lot of innuendos.
Wordy, but then, like, he is escaping an angry mob trying to kill him, and a bunch of, like... mentally inferior people called the
apathetics
yeah. start licking the sweat off him and then banging on the floor.
Because they were like made human or what, like they were broken from
their like woken up by
yeah, woken
weird
up.
Rules.
So they just started having sex on the ground and just everywhere while like the people who were in the vortex are revolting, trying to find Zed, Sean Connery's character. And then he's enlightening these people. Oh,
it was Woodstock.
Burning Man.
Okay, what else can we say?
I had a little bit of a... I was thinking of the Burning Man. I was thinking of the Wicker Man, actually. The old 70s
yeah.
Wicker Man.
With Christopher Lee?
Yeah, a little bit.
The one with Nick Cage?
No, not
the Beast.
No.
No.
Count
no, no.
Dooku.
I like the... What?
Not the Beast!
Count Dooku.
Nicolas Cage is Count Dooku.
No,
Christopher
Lee.
Oh.
Was in the Wicker Man.
Willy Wonka's father.
Oh, I gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Good movie there.
I made a Count Dooku in the toilet before.
I think maybe if you want to do a round table of what did you really like specifically about the movie and what did you just like go, this is too much? Because I had a lot of those kind of moments.
Well, there was nothing in this film I hated. Like, when we watched Hideous, I abhorred that movie from the beginning to end.
I warned you.
And Yeah.
Ugh. You did, and we didn't listen.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Chris. I'm going to listen to you forever now.
Good.
What? I wasn't listening. Yeah, so there was nothing in Zardoz that I hated. It was just nothing interested me. Like, I appreciate it. I appreciate the concepts of what it was trying to go for, but it was so convoluted. I guess the one thing I really liked, like the cinematography and the visuality of it, that was really beautiful.
There's some good cinematography in there.
Yeah. I like the cinematography as well. You know, a lot of really pretty shots in there. Blah, 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 blah. I like the fact that if you really looked for it, you could pick out a lot of satire and
social
commentary.
Yeah.
On class structure and foreign warfare and sexuality.
Outsourcing of jobs and resources.
I feel like when they said that they thought the writers of Batman vs. Superman thought that they were being smart with their ideas, this is what they were imagining.
Yeah.
They were making a movie
We made a lot of BVS comparisons in this. Like when the lady was like, we have to kill
him. Who was Martha?
Because we don't...
even if there's a 1% chance that he could kill us, we have to stop him.
They said something about true. That to Sean Connery.
We have to kill you because
he was
you
smarter
could kill
and stronger
us.
Than
yeah,
him.
And
yeah,
and that was like exactly what Batman's motivation was.
Well, the idea was
he watched Zardoz.
The idea was that he was a mutant, meaning from mutiny, not like he was an X-Men mutant. But he
has his hair power.
He found out.
He could reverse time, though.
He broke into a library led by one of the guy who actually was Zardoz, like the guy behind the curtain.
Arthur.
That guy was the best character.
That guy, okay.
He was awesome. When he pulls that thing over his face. Ah!
When he makes a pigeon appear.
Yeah. Look, the whole thing with this movie is I like the concept. I like what it's grounded in. I really like what they were attempting to do, successfully or not. Like it was great social commentary, and it was really smart. But man, was it hard to follow at some points. Like we were like, well, because they're getting inside the tabernacle and how like this device controls these people, and I'm like, what the hell?
They don't really explain fully like what's going on. You kind of have to just
put the pieces together.
Really, just take a leap of faith there. But it's also like, this old guy wants to be immortal and have the perfect society. Society crumbled, so we put crystals in everyone's forehead, and then have like a master crystal that basically gave everyone.
And this is nothing
life.
You find out until like the
end of
the last
movie.
10
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah, like in the very beginning of the movie when Sean Connery pulls a James Bond and shoots the screen.
That
and
was
then,
like this. Keep in mind, this is post Diamonds Are Forever, so he was already at the time done being James Bond.
Yeah.
So this is before Never Say Never Again. There was a very clear reference with the gun. Too.
Oh,
but he does
more like Great Train Robbery.
He does that.
Well, yeah. Well, that's where that came from originally.
Oh, okay.
He shoots the screen, and then in the next scene, he's already in the head inside of the grain. And you're wondering how, and you don't find out till hours later how he got in there.
Yeah.
I mean, there are really good elements of mystery and storytelling, and really bad ones. I think the tabernacle and all that was poorly explained.
It was garbage. I could
and
have just
really
out
hard
that.
To follow. But then there were moments like when...
The library? Are you talking about?
Well, when they're talking
cool,
about the
yeah.
book that he found. And like, what's the book that you read
that was the best
that
part
made
of the
you
film.
Realize that your whole life was a lie? And he won't tell her, he won't tell her. And then he goes, it's The Wizard of Oz. And then you hold up Zardoz, and he covers of, and it's half of Wizard and Oz, and it's Zardoz.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh!
I thought that was really
clever.
That was the best part of
like,
the whole film.
I figured it out that there was a man behind the mask. Like, don't pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Like, it really was.
Man
and we're all saying, oh, God, it's going to be the Bible.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
gonna
no.
Do a...
It's going to be a religious thing, but it wasn't.
Zack Snyder would have done that.
Yeah. David Goyer and whoever wrote the Book of Eli.
It was more of a...
I'd say it has more integrity than using the Bible, honestly.
Spoiler, sorry.
I mean, it worked. And at first, we're kind of like, Wizard of Oz? Wait a second, that works. And you pointed out the Wicked Witch thing.
Yeah, when he first shoots Arthur
in the very beginning.
In the head. I noticed, like, he even, like, goes, like, floating away, almost like the Wicked Witch. Which,
and
I can imagine, maybe that was just, like, some shitty 70s...
Oh, there was some shitty effects.
Like, movie filmmaking going on, and that was unintentional.
You
can
see his wire.
As soon as I saw that, or, you know... Looking back now, it's the Wizard of Oz. Like,
yeah.
Looking back now,
giving us little hints.
He's in the Stonehead. It's the house, and he comes down in Oz.
It's pretty.
That's pretty similar.
I mean, he's got long hair like Dorothy.
Do they ever
and a dog named Toto.
They ever explain how Arthur was not dead? Because that was a whole thing. Is
they're all immortal.
Yeah, but where, like, because they thought he was dead because they couldn't
find
the body.
I guess he pulled a Bruce Wayne and just came back to Gotham.
Yeah, like, oh, hey, Catwoman, I'm here and clean shaven. Only I'm not clean shaven. I have a little mustache and a little vagina drawn on with Sharpie.
Bruce Wayne didn't have that.
No, but Zardoz did.
Arthur.
Oh, fuck, was it? Oh, yeah. Also, this is in the 70s, and the sequel to Wizard of Oz came out in the 70s, Return to Oz, which was pretty much a horror movie.
I thought that was the 80s.
I'm pretty sure that was the
80s. I thought the Michael Jackson one was the horror
one.
One
with the rollers.
That's the Wiz.
The Wiz?
That was 79. Right.
That wasn't a horror.
Oh, it was
sure
to me.
Are you sure about that?
I'm pretty sure.
That was a bad movie.
It's a musical.
Sorry, everybody.
Oh, those are scary.
You can have a musical horror. Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors.
But it wasn't
a
horror.
Phantom of the Opera, kind of. Not really.
All right. I lost my train of thought. Sean, say something.
Jason, why don't you talk about all the boobs?
Oh, God.
You're good
at
that.
My favorite part.
So many.
You're good at that.
Oh, the
there
boobs.
There were boobs.
The soapy boobs.
Yeah. I like the joke you made. You were like, oh, hello, A cup. This is my sister, B cup.
I am A cup, and this is my sister, B cup.
Yeah, the boobs were nice. I mean, it was a nice, you know, I said I liked the visuals.
It was clearly a 70s European film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If it made in Scotland.
Well, the whole thing was that these people in the Vortex didn't have sexual desires, and they were trying to figure out, like, how erections worked, and they were convinced.
Oh, that was so
funny.
They
were convinced that erections had to do with violence.
That little drawing of the penis going
Yeah,
up.
And she's like, I don't know how the penis works. And
well, I mean, they have no other idea.
It was like a PowerPoint. We have to get it from this to this.
But then they tested it with Sean Connery.
And they showed him two images. One was a woman taking a shower.
Yeah.
And she was kind of like, she was touching her breasts.
Oh, she was like.
And like, and then he's just sitting there.
They were
and
the cleanest
monitoring.
Breasts
She
ever,
was really checking for cancer.
They were monitoring his heart waves.
And they're fine.
And nothing happened.
Nothing.
And then, like, they showed, like, two women mud wrestling. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're monitoring his heart waves and nothing. Then the screen goes blank, and he just looks at the woman standing there, and he's just, like, kind of giving her that Sean Connery stare.
Yeah. She's...
And it starts to beep uncontrollably, and they all look down, and they're like, oh.
And she's like, the main one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Consuela.
But that woman, I'd say, was also probably the primary antagonist of the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was always thwarting him, trying to have him killed from the very beginning. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it played a lot with sexuality. It played, like, what role does sexuality play in humanity? What role does sexuality play
What
in
role do
everyday...
men and women play?
Yeah, what's the...
Independently of each other.
Yes. And, I mean, Rick and Morty, for those of you who know...
Good-ass show.
They spoofed this, and they did it really cleverly, is that they had the Zardoz head come down and put out all the sex robots, and then the crazy barbarian men, like, mated with... with the sex robots, and then they collected the sex robots and brought them back to harvest the children or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was a clever parody of this, because that's kind of what they were doing here. And Zardoz was convincing these barbaric men, what was it? The gun is good and the penis is evil.
Yeah.
That's like the first line of the damn movie. We're like, oh no. Oh no.
Not one of these again.
Oh, I can't. I mean, within the first 10 minutes of the movie, I was like, this is going to be awful.
Well, the floating head didn't help.
Yeah, well, it got better. I mean, it was better than I thought, like I said.
The floating head was pretty cool.
No, he's talking about the intro floating head. Not the Zardoz floating head, but
I think he's talking about the Legend of the Hidden Temple.
Legend of the Hidden Head? All right, let's talk about the ending real quick.
Okay. To me, the movie ended when he had his enlightening, and he was like, it's the Wizard of Oz, my whole world's a lie, this is what I saw. I really thought the movie was going to end there.
30 minutes later.
And then 30 minutes later, they're having some rebellion, and all the people who are enlightened.
People freeze.
He's trapped in a mirror house.
He's trapped, and he gets inside the tabernacle, and he shoots himself. I mean, it was very
That
cerebral.
Went on for so long.
So
he's just running
around. Do you
think
that was like a form of rebirth?
Yes, I do. And then there was the whole thing about him being educated, which I thought was really visually cool.
It just went on a little too long.
I mean, the movie, like, I'm trying to get my thoughts, because I don't think...
In a way, there's too many thoughts.
There's way too many... There's too much going on here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was one plot line on top of one plot line on top of one
And too many themes.
Yeah, I mean, it was all over the place at some points. We're talking about the movie, though, like, we understand it. I'm not sure that we have it perfectly. And if anybody knows the film better than we do, please feel free to
tweet at us at blah blah pod one.
Comment.
Tell Evan that he's an idiot and he doesn't know the first thing about movies.
Zardoz.
And how dumb that he is. And you can talk to him at blah blah pod one.
Argue with him about Spider-Man.
Yeah, don't.
His favorite film is Spider-Man 3.
You know what? It is totally not. And I
like
look,
the time we watched it in college, and you're like,
it's
I hate this
parts.
Movie.
It's got
but,
good
oh, this
parts.
Part's good.
It's got good parts. Okay? What I'm saying overall is I don't think that any of us really fully understand Zardoz.
And Tobey Maguire wasted
his
movie does. Career.
Anyone
dancing.
Does.
And I would like to hear other people who interpret the movie differently than us.
I want
to
know how high the director was
so
when he came up with
dude,
this and
like,
when he was filming this.
He was tripping.
Freaking Larry,
like
what's his name?
I mean,
Larry Barrowman?
Well,
John
Borman. It said it
like,
nine times.
Like, go through his filmography
oh,
real
oh.
quick.
Yeah, he has, it's very strange. He directed Deliverance.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the movie
another
he made
movie
right before
rape.
This. And the movie he made right after this was Exorcist II: The Heretic.
And they
probably
are similar
that too.
In visual styles.
Very similar.
You can tell.
Is that the one with James Earl Jones?
Yes.
With the
lion.
Yeah, with an apple that pops out of his mouth. Was that movie?
No, that was The Witch.
That was, no. Doesn't he like spit out an apple in that movie and it lands on a spike or
maybe.
Something?
Maybe. I'm getting
and
his
then she
character
has to, like,
from
walk
that
across
mix with Conan.
The spikes.
Where he turns
that was
into
Conan.
The snake.
That yeah. was, no, I'm sorry. That was from Conan.
That was Conan?
That was from Conan, I think.
Two very different movies.
But both
still with
James
Earl
Jones
being some kind of animal.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's the one where the camera zooms in on James Earl Jones and he makes the MGM lion roar.
look, if you hate The Exorcist 2, which a lot of people do, but this is very, very similar.
Not in content, I think. In
but in visual style.
Yeah.
And in terms of almost like storytelling, it's similar.
I have a question.
Maybe pacing, too.
Pacing, yeah. Well, yeah.
What was the last thing this guy made?
Is he still alive?
Yeah.
I looked him up on Wikipedia, and the last movie I saw him make, I think it was called Queen and Country, in 2014.
He was supposed to do Lord of the Rings. That would have been weird.
What?
Actually, we made that reference when they were hunting him.
That.
Like,
yeah.
This is where he hides under the tree.
Yeah.
Would have been really existential and would have been really long and boring.
So, like, Lord of the Rings.
You'd get a lot more Tom Bombadil.
Yeah. I like his visual. The style of this, though. And I want to stress again, if you're watching this and have no idea what Zardoz is,
Don't worry about it. This is
not everybody's type of movie.
No.
I don't even think it's really my type of movie.
It's just like your father's type of movie. He was in film school.
If your father...
And on acid.
Yeah.
Yeah, if your father did drugs in the 70s and was in film school, he'll probably like this movie.
Yep.
Just like 2001 A Space Odyssey.
2001 A Space Odyssey is way better than this, Chris. I'm sorry.
Who cares?
Wait, let's talk about the actual end. Like, when everything's going
to shit,
and then you see the lady who was opposed to Sean Connery the whole movie, and she's like, looks like she gets the erection, too. Yeah, it looks like she's moaning in ecstasy, and then she's actually giving birth.
Well, no, I think that was her having sex.
Okay, I guess it jumped.
Scene.
And then really quickly, she's giving birth. Really quickly, it's Sean Connery, the little boy, and her, and the kids aging very rapidly.
And they're aging, too.
And they're aging, too, and then they become, like, old crypt keepers, and then they become skeletons.
And then the thing we've been saying all throughout the movie became true. Zed's dead.
Baby.
Zed's dead.
I think, and maybe I'm being really pretentious here, but I think that was showing just the cycle of life, how beautiful that is.
Was it beautiful, ugly as shit?
It was scary.
I think that's
and
the
it was
point.
Unsettling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the whole time, the people that were immortal and weren't having sex and didn't know how erections work, they weren't human.
Then they weren't aging.
They didn't know how to feel. They were miserable.
Yeah, and they were upset and they couldn't age and they wanted to die and all of this. And I don't think that visual representation at the end was actually them aging rapidly through whatever.
It was just
they were sitting in one spot.
It was
them
just showing
just
that
showing
like life had returned,
you know, and
yeah.
to what it once
what's interesting
was.
Is that it didn't depicted as like they're behind a waterfall and it's magical and great. It's scary. It's unsettling. You know, that's life.
Life.
Because in the
middle of all that going on, you have the village people being killed.
All the village people died. Even the
I love the
Indian
YMCA
chief and the biker. They're all dead. Yeah. All the village people, guys.
This is huge.
Oh my god!
The police officer.
Yeah, the police.
The police officer's dead. Oh no!
Everyone died.
And the Navy.
YMZA for Zardoz.
Jason, that wasn't funny.
Z-A-R-D-O-Z.
Yeah, oh, man. Oh, let's talk about the guy who they all were trying to tickle, and then they made him age rapidly. Who the hell was that fucker again?
Oh, I think he was rejecting their way of life, and he kept saying that how he was trying to kill himself, but he couldn't die.
He was like Arthur's right-hand man.
Yeah.
And he knew that Sean Connery had something to do with shooting him in the beginning. He even yes. whipped him in the ass.
And it was all part of Arthur's plan the whole time that yeah. Sean Connery come in
to bring down society.
Yeah. But the society turned against him. We didn't talk about how, because you can't age in the society, that if you get punished, instead of going to jail, they give you like 5 years of life.
No,
like,
no, they take away.
And they go like
no,
this.
No.
They, give or take
they
away.
They age you 5 years.
They age you five. When I say give, I mean
they add 6 months to a year or whatever for each, more time for each punishment.
Because I guess you're at zero if
and
you're
you
if
don't
normal.
Die, so you'll be like a 90-year-old man and just have to live like that.
Yeah, so they put all the old people that they've banished or aged to that point.
In Florida.
In what is like an old dance hall?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then these people are miserable and they're in so much pain and they're like, I want to die. And when they see Zed, Sean Connery's character, come in, they're like, oh, you have the gift of death. You are amortal, I should say. And we want that. And he's like, I'm going to try to get that for you. And it was so...
And they were asking him all kinds of questions like, why doesn't my grandson visit me? And when do the slot machines close? You know? And it was real sad.
Are you part of Publisher's Clearinghouse?
Yeah. Are you registered to vote?
Also, it's very important to note that the Vortex was built upon old societies. They were studying art, American history.
Music.
There was some kind of, like, you know, huge war
philosophy.
Or something like that.
Ironically yeah. enough, because their philosophy was very warped. Yeah. They knew all about philosophy.
You know, it's funny, and this is just kind of a general thought about the movie, is upon seeing that picture of Sean Connery in the Speedo with the gun... I never thought we'd be having this conversation.
No.
Like, I expected nothing from this movie.
I thought this was going to be another Hideous.
I did, too.
But you know what? And I really appreciate that there is something to talk about. Because with Hideous, what do you say?
It was really
awful.
Every moment of the movie was bad. This is something that we can actually have, like, an educated discussion about the philosophies of life based on this really cheesy, corny. And it was cheesy and corny. Really fucking cheesy and corny.
Yeah, but there was a lot of thought behind it.
But there was a lot of thought. And the script, although it was a mess, I mean, a completely disjointed mess, the themes and what they were trying to get at and the allegories that they were making were pretty smart.
Yeah.
I mean, this is some smart science fiction. And it's interesting to note that back in the 70s, this was the type of science fiction that everyone was getting. You know what I mean?
Well, to go along that, I'm sorry, Jason, to cut you off.
No, I just want to, real quick before I forget, show them the scene of when the guy got hit in the head with the horse hoof. You remember that?
Oh, on the beach?
Oh, yeah!
Oh, someone died.
Yeah, someone, yeah. There was a stuntman who actually, like, got trampled.
Yeah, it's blinker, you miss it.
And we're like, whoa, that was real.
The part where the barbarians are horseback riding on the beach and they knock this guy down and you clearly see the hoof hit the dude in the face. As
hard.
Went. Yeah.
And then immediately after, Sean Connery rapes a woman.
Yep.
Yeah. It was...
Oh, this movie wasn't for the faint of heart.
No.
Well, what I was going to say is I would like to go around and I want to ask everyone what you think the moral of the story was.
That's a good question.
I'll answer that.
I graduated
first,
school, man.
I think the moral of this was that you can't have... First off, I mean, it was a big allegory for nuclear war and human destruction. And then the high class,
not the moral.
The rich were like...
Oh, there are many elements, but
yeah.
What's the...
The moral was you cannot have a successful society without sex. And I think that's what it really revolved around, is that, allegories aside, the whole thing boiled down to these people didn't feel sexual pleasure. And when he came in and liberated these people that were already, like, whatever, which I didn't really understand the relation between the what were they called, the apathetics? Or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
The pathetics.
I couldn't get that relationship. But once he gave them, like, the gift of human pleasure, like, the society revolted and turned back to what it was. So I think that the point is not to sound like a complete pretentious douchebag, is that you can't have a functioning society without sex and sin.
I really like that, and I think you summed it up completely. I was going to say maybe the moral of the story is I can't really find one. I'm not as smart as you. I'm sorry.
Oh, hey! But, he said it, folks. You all heard him.
I mean... You know, you're evolving and you're wearing less sleeves. That's the evolutionary thing.
No, I
know you're wearing sleeves
if
today.
If you
want
to tell Evan just how much he doesn't know about movies, you can comment on blah blah pod 1 on our Twitter.
I'm wearing sleeves. Sleeves on sleeves,
bitch. What I was going to say, I thought maybe the moral was, like, life is precious, don't take it for granted, some bullshit like that.
That's in there.
What about you?
I got the impression that there are many elements of human nature that we deem unpleasant. Our tendency for violence, our tendency for cruelty, our sexual deviancy. And I think the moral was, even though we deem them unpleasant, they are 100% what make us human. If you take those away, we aren't what we are, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We aren't human anymore. That's what I got out of it.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think of how to articulate it without repeating
everyone
else.
Well, we're all being
really
pretentious right now, so just go right ahead. But, I mean, we're the same podcast that shit all over Fifty Shades of Grey.
We're the same podcast that watched Hideous.
Hideous, yeah. And here we are going, well, what do you think, you know, society is based around?
But, you know, I like that. I like the change of pace.
Well, yeah. It was good to see something that was, like, challenging for us.
I'm really glad we were able to dig out morals and values from a movie like Zardoz and not Batman Superman.
I think the movie was all about balance. Like, the barbarians were all about sex and violence. And they weren't human. The people in the vortex were not about sex or violence at all, and they weren't human. You had to, like, find symbiosis.
Yeah, the Buddhist middle ground.
What did you think, Jason?
The camera.
I want to grow up to be a good boy.
For if you can't tell from the camera here, there's a
you can tell.
Yeah, you can tell. Well, now it's ruined.
You killed the gag.
You've killed the immersion.
This is me, everyone. A 10-year-old version.
There you go. Jason
Same height.
Jason's father owns this.
Jason, if that's a 10-year-old version, does that make it Jason X?
Sean,
what did you think the moral of this was?
I mean, you're all right.
No
one's
wrong
here. I think the sexual undertones are even more overt than... let's get this thing back here.
Yeah, hold on. Put that back.
Yep.
Right
there we go.
I took it out.
That's what she said.
You blew it.
Zardoz.
Oh, God. It's falling. I feel like the sexual overtones were almost a majority of what they were trying to get at.
Yeah.
Because, you know, realistically, if you look at different parts of the movie, that's basically what they're talking about. And, you know, it's dealing with other issues at the same time. But in the grand scheme of things, it's mainly a movie about sex.
Yeah. And it's pretty, it doesn't hide that at all. You know what I mean? From the first
it's very unapologetic.
10 minutes of the movie, we're seeing, you know, bare-breasted women. And I mean, even in Sean Connery's dress.
Yeah.
At the time that this was filmed, I don't know what women in 1974 or
5. We'll try.
Sean Connery was considered to be the sexiest man alive at that time.
Yeah.
Right? So they put him in, like, scantily clad clothing. So if you were a woman watching this, you'd be like,
"All right then."
Sean Connery.
If he's no Channing Tatum, I'll give.
Yeah,
I'll
if you're,
well,
I mean,
if you're doing a remake of this in present day, who do you cast?
The Rock.
Channing Tatum. The Rock. It has to be The Rock. He's in everything.
Channing Tatum,
every remake is the goddamn Rock.
I mean, you're gonna...
George Clooney because he's a little older.
No, I don't think
Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig. Yeah. Oh
yeah,
my God!
Yeah.
This movie would be great with Daniel Craig. I know you were doing that as a James Bond joke, but that would actually be really cool.
No, you got to use The Rock. You got to drop any kind of theological ideals.
Put some more comedy in there.
Yeah, more comedy. More
the,
Kevin
the
Hart.
The female lead would be Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, of course.
No.
And Kristen Wiig.
And Kristen Wiig, yeah.
And, you know, they would have a dubstep soundtrack.
And then Leslie Jones and whatever the Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, and, you know, it'll just be a comedy, and you'll just take out anything that makes you think at all.
Actually,
just
no, the remake would just be...
So Ghostbusters.
So it'll just be Zardoz flying around, like, making jokes. Melissa McCarthy, like, falls out and hits the ground real hard, and everybody laughs because she's fat, you know.
And the guy with the painted-on mustache, that would be John Lovitz.
Yeah.
No, he's not in movies anymore.
All right, wait, but
Steve Carell.
In all seriousness, this movie deserves a remake. It really deserves a well-done, cerebral, smart remake. Faster pace.
I would love to see a remake, but not what we crank out as remakes.
No, it really
would need an intellectual crew.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see the guy who did Ex Machina remake this.
Oh,
yeah.
What was that director's name?
Alex something.
Baldwin.
No, I don't remember his name. But That would be really good. Well, this kind of, in some ways, reminded me of Ex Machina a little bit, in terms of sexuality, yeah, humanity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's
maybe
the theme here.
Maybe he saw Zardoz and got the idea for Ex Machina.
Could be.
Hey, let's just have, what's his face? The Edward Scissorhands director.
Tim Burton.
Let's just Johnny have Depp. Tim Burton remake
no,
it. And he'll
no.
cast Johnny Depp.
And then Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah, and she'll be the woman.
Even though they're divorced
no.
now.
And
are they really?
Yeah.
I know.
There'll be dead trees everywhere inside the vortex.
Yeah.
I always saw Tim Burton and her were married.
I know that they were together. I know if they were married.
Make Johnny Depp look like a clown.
I'm serious, though. I think that done correctly, this should be remade.
You want to do it?
Yeah, sure.
You can be Connery. We just got to get a bunch of...
Can I be...
I don't have a hairy enough
can
chest.
Can I be A cup?
Yeah. Awesome. Or an A cup.
I'll be the guy with the vagina on his chin.
Good, good.
I'll be the guy who gets half-aged.
Yeah, what was with that? Why did he only get half-aged?
I think it was just so we could recognize
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
You can be one of the old guys.
You know
guys.
What? I believe, yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
No, Sean has to be the director of the damn
Sean,
movie.
No.
Yeah.
We need Sean.
It's not
going
to be made if I don't do it.
Yeah, Sean, like, so Sean's got to do it.
Sean's got to be the tabernacle.
Like it. It's my movie, damn it.
Sean would be the tabernacle. Oh, come into the center and bring your Blu-rays.
Oh, that's not the right SD card.
Is life an SD card or a firewire?
Your aspect ratio is sickening.
It's funny. I'm wondering what... and please comment, because I'd love to hear, like, we're the guys who, you know, we go to the movies and, like, rip apart Spectre and Batman vs. Superman for
Spectre
every
was good.
Stupid little
yeah, like
plot
Spectre.
Inconsistency, and then we watch Zardoz and go,
I know.
Oh,
no,
it's
why?
Like we didn't make fun of it.
At the point you get in Zardoz, you don't know what's an inconsistency.
Yeah, you're like,
this
you know
what?
I just fucking
on.
Just go with it, and what we're gonna get's gonna be.
I'm
fun.
Hanging
just...
on by the seat of my pants. Like I have no idea what's going
it's
on.
It's like Zack Snyder really should have watched this movie to get an idea of how to make a movie with a moral background.
Like,
you know what though? There's
I don't know about that.
I don't know about this one.
Well, yeah, we're having a hard time finding
ambiguous.
Ourselves right now.
I mean, this.
Well, okay, I should say not a moral background, but a movie with a message. You know
what
I mean?
There's good
like,
symbolism and there's clumsy symbolism. Having
like
Superman
eye,
floating in
oh,
space like
on the cruise,
that's clumsy.
Yeah. Well, that's not the first time that's happened
Superman
either.
Every Superman adaptation has done that. And it's like Superman is not a Jesus Christ
yeah.
figure.
He's a Moses character.
He's a Moses character.
Yeah.
Why are we...
And the closest we got was Sean Connery just flailing his arms in the air as he fell down.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Well, there was the one scene. There was the one scene where he's standing there and all like the sex-crazed hippies were touching him. Like that, just like the scene in Batman Superman where all the juggalos are touching Superman.
I mean,
and
you have to admit there is a charm to like 70s low budget films.
There is. There's you know? There's such a there
it's
is
before
a charm
CG.
To this. And I guess we are just pretentious film people for loving this. Like, I mean,
I don't love it.
We don't all love it, but like we
no, just
I,
you.
I appreciate it.
No, it has problems. Don't get
oh,
me wrong.
Oh my
yeah.
god, my god, it's a goofy, shitty 70s movie, but it's smart. You know what I mean?
Next
it's...
time we go over your house, you're going to have a Zardoz poster.
I might.
He's going to have the Zardoz mask. He's going to walk around
and
shoot
people. I want to get, and if anybody can send me one, please do, because, hey, I want to get
you
like,
owe
like,
him
a
people.
Little tiny like figure of the Zardoz head and put it on my desk at work. Like,
you got to be able to find like someone with a 3D printer and just get it made.
Oh, I actually know someone with a 3D printer.
Or put like a clear thing underneath it so it looks like it's floating.
You have to go around your office.
If you want your own blah blah podcast Zardoz paperweight, email us at www.gmail.com and hit the compose button and then send a message to
Angle.
No, John Dingus at gmail.com and we'll probably ignore it, but if we don't, you'll get yourself a Zardoz paperweight.
Oh, I'm not giving them out. I want you to send it to me. I'm not giving away anything. I'm asking for shit.
Hear that, everyone? We're takers, not givers.
Well, I feel like we've said a lot. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Again, I just want to reiterate, we went into this thinking, let's watch some shitty fucking movie so we can all make fun of it. And we did. We watched a shitty fucking movie so we can all make fun of it.
And we did.
But we got something out of it. It was,
yeah.
I
learned a lesson.
It was like, oh shit, I didn't think this was going to be.
I'm walking away.
Don't judge a movie by its speedo.
Yeah. There.
I learned what an erection was.
Yeah.
I'm walking away a lot more enlightened than I thought I was going to.
I'm surprised by
I was dreading to watch this movie.
I didn't want
to
watch it.
I was telling Sean, hey, maybe we should watch Deep Impact or, or Deep
Rising. I was more concerned with everyone being hungover.
Well, we...
Yeah.
We were.
Yeah.
But we enjoyed it.
Yes.
I gotta say, you know, I mean, we talked its praises. It did have problems, you know. It wasn't a perfect movie.
No.
It was so hard to follow.
You know, all in all, I mean, if you're gonna put this into a category, it's gonna be a bad
fucking
movie.
Weird movie.
Let's be real. This was a weird movie.
I'd give it like a C average, you know?
Out of
a C out of 10.
It's a weird.
It goes on long sometimes, but I enjoyed the message. I enjoyed the cinematography. There were things that, you know, you could take things to like out of it.
It's one of those things where you gotta be like, okay, like within the first 5 seconds of the movie, you're like, okay, I'm watching something. Like I can't really be critical about this because it's just so fucking out there. So let me enjoy what it can offer me, the benefits it does have, and it doesn't disappoint once you go. Boop. All right, this is a different... I'm going to shift my critical lens.
Life is meaningless.
Mike, do you have any final
words? We're all talking kind of like if we were to review a horror movie. Like, you know how you look at the horror?
Yeah, I mean, you're not going
to
go into Friday the 13th like, this is going to be the Citizen Kane of cinematography.
Yeah, what would this even be on? I guess it is sci-fi.
It's science.
Yeah.
It's straight science
fiction. Yeah. Any final thoughts, Mike?
I really want to make a lot of GIFs out of this movie.
Do it. Sean has the rip.
Every couple minutes of this movie is just something just noteworthy.
If you could intercut like pictures of Princess Leia with women with that hairstyle, because every woman had that hairstyle practically.
Yeah. Please send me the
just try and like combine them so it looks like
from his face he's just like that.
Yeah. Oh boy.
But, any final thoughts, Sean?
Not really.
Okay.
But you liked it.
Yeah, I said everything I did. Yeah. You know, it looked good. The pacing was piss poor.
Yeah,
but it was fun. I mean, I'd probably watch it again only with the director's commentary on in the background.
Mm-hmm. While I'm like, I don't remember fucking making this at all. It was
Coke. I was so high.
I mean, yeah. If like you're like in a really bad mood, probably don't watch this movie. No. But if you're like, you know what, I feel like adventurous today.
If you like the '60s Star Trek too, it had.
It had like a Twilight Zone Star Trek feel to it.
The Apes. Time Machine. I said that earlier. That's kind of the movie that it
feels one last thing, the tattoo.
Oh yeah, Sean Connery kept getting a tattoo.
Reappearing tattoo.
Like, I guess they tried to cover it and then ran out of makeup and then stopped covering it.
Or maybe he got it in the middle of shooting.
Yeah, but he had a tattoo that was very
it was
obvious.
All of the sweat.
Or maybe
they
his character was supposed
to
have it. I don't know.
He was like in the middle of getting a sleeve tattoo between takes. He was a tattoo artist on the side of the set.
If you're into this kind of movie, I recommend it.
Okay. Let's begin the plugs.
Are you trying to adjust your butt plug? Was that it?
Yeah. you have the other one.
They're matching.
What are you, connected?
Yes. Okay, I am Jason.
Are we not going to address this?
Oh, wait, you were wearing that the whole time?
Yeah.
Oh, I did.
Are we just not going to like talk about you being the fucking... Like, did you know you were wearing this?
Yes. That's why I put it on. I'm the fucking champ. Champ.
You missed it, everyone. He was wearing supple breasts earlier.
I was.
Yeah, he was.
They're upstairs.
He's being Zardoz.
And we have Travis Bickle over here.
Well, I am Jason Green. You can follow me on Twitter at jgreen89. If you would like a blah blah podcast t-shirt, you can email me at jgreen89@gmail.com. Follow our podcast on Twitter, blah blah POD1, to make fun of Evan. 11 more.
Nope. Oh, yeah, actually, I said follow me on Twitter, EvanMore1105. Follow me on Instagram, EvanMore1105. You're not going to want to do
that. You said
either.
11 more again.
Did I really? Frig, man.
I think you did.
God damn.
Just drop the F-bomb. Like, come on.
Well, I just didn't want to scream fuck.
Well, good for you.
Okay.
Chris?
EvanMore1105 or EvanMore1105?
I have to say this for Jobo. We have a winner for the blah blah world.
No.
Yeah.
I think technically it's a part two of blah blah liar contest.
The blah,
well,
blah,
Donald
liar
Trump
contest.
Never claimed his
yeah,
prize.
He never picked it up.
He didn't read our fan mail.
So we actually had an actual winner. And we'll probably announce this again in like a regular blah blah podcast episode.
We can announce it now.
But should we like say who won or just
go ahead.
Yeah. I'll acknowledge now.
Ariana, congratulations. You won.
Ariana.
Say that out.
Well, you just did, so whatever.
I wasn't gonna say
Ariana, thank you for watching. And listening.
Yeah, we appreciate your viewership
and
your participation.
And you will get your signed copy soon.
Yeah, we're working on that now.
It'll get to you in a week.
Eventually.
You know, George has to send it back.
He might eat the corners.
Don't be surprised if it's sticky.
Oh, my God, that'd be funny.
Well, bacon grease.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to make it sticky.
No.
That's disgusting. I think Zardoz poisoned your mind.
Zardoz poisoned my mind.
Devin's going to be showing his breast to people all day.
Do you have a Twitter, Mike?
I do. It's Mike_Dowling, where I keep getting tweets directed towards a comic book artist with the same name who doesn't have a Twitter. Hysterical.
Just pretend you're him.
Yeah, no, I plan to try to like hit up Vertigo one day and just be like, yo, let me do a variant cover. It's the at Mike Dowling version.
You should tweet back to the people. Thank you. I keep thinking about it because
the writer of the comic, it's called Unfollow. I read the first two issues. It's all right. Like, I'll actually
give it a shot. It's bad.
It's not bad.
Just trashing this guy.
It's not directed for me, like to me.
What is it about?
Weird, like secret societies and social media.
Are you sure you read it?
Yes. People die. But I am. I'm
people die every day.
Every issue.
Damn, that was deep, dude.
I'm more active on Instagram, I guess, where you want to see all of my cats.
Yo, cat pics all the way, Mike.
MF Dowling.
Motherfucking Dowling.
Damn right. Dowling. You know, if you really want to follow me, sure.
What about you, Sean?
If you want to follow me, that's at @the_Brack Show on Twitter.
Are you
Twitter.
A fan of the Brack Show?
Sure.
He hates it.
What's his Twitter?
It's actually not relating to the Brack Show.
What's it relating to?
Well, we'll talk about that off air.
You're a weirdo.
It's one of those type of things.
Okay, thank you for watching, and expect another video review probably
eventually.
In a month or so. Eventually.
Woohoo! Woo! Eventually!
Hooray, effort.
Penises are evil and guns are good.